listener production.
Hey, Bension Siebert here with The Briefing. A rocket is set to take off from the small North Queensland town of Bowen soon, becoming the first locally made orbital rocket to blast off from Australian soil. Gold Coast-backed Seymour Space Technologies has been working away to send a 23-metre rocket into Earth's orbit. But funnily enough, it's likely to fail. Today, we're joined by listener journalist Courtney Thomas to explain why this rocket launch is so significant for Australia and why a company would put a potentially doomed rocket into space. Welcome, Courtney.
Thanks for having me.
You've spoken with both CEO of Gilmour Space Technologies, Adam Gilmour, as well as astrophysicist Dr. Matt Agnew to unpack this story. Is there an official date for blastoff?
Well, the short answer is no. So the launch date has been pushed back actually multiple times. So I've actually been in contact with the Gilmour team for weeks now. So to give you a bit of backstory, the rocket was actually initially set to blast off from the North Queensland town of Bowen on April 29. Then it was May 4, which in my opinion, I think would have been the perfect date to launch something into space.
But May the 4th, be with
yes.
you.
Yeah. Anyway, perfect opportunity. But anyway, uh-huh. It's been pushed back again. There's no official date set for now. So basically, Gilmour Space Technologies are still waiting for a launch permit. So they've also got other factors considered too, like weather. There's so many moving parts here, but I've been told they've been doing a heap of tests over the past 3 months just to make sure everything is A-okay. So I'm told the launch infrastructure is done. They're just basically waiting on that official approval from the Australian Space Agency to get the go-ahead. I got in touch with the agency just to see how that approval was tracking, and this is what they said, quote, "The Australian Space Agency's Office of the Space Regulator must be satisfied that all requirements under the Space Launches and Returns Act 2018 are met before making a recommendation to the minister to authorise a space launch," end quote. The spokesperson then also went on to say that the application and assessment process remains in work.
So potentially a bit to go there. Can you walk us through why this launch is so significant for Australia?
Yeah, sure. So at the moment, we actually rely on other countries to launch things into orbit, which I actually didn't realise before doing these interviews, as other countries actually have this space technology. Just to give context as well, though, Australia did actually launch the Black Knight rocket in the 1950s in South Australia. And here's some of the news coverage from that.
0 hour at Woomera, South Australia. Black Knight, Britain's first space rocket, had its cables released and was all set for the takeoff. It was a triumph for all concerned. It went 300 miles up, and the nose cone was recovered about 50 miles away at the expected spot.
That is amazing.
Yeah, but those were actually American and British-made rockets. So what makes this so significant is that it would actually be the first locally made and Australian-owned rocket launch.
And probably what's really impressive about this is that we'll be only the 12th nation to have access to space launch technology. So it's a big deal. We have technically had rockets launched before, but as I said, these are Australian-made and Australian-owned rockets, and it puts us in this kind of esteemed company of 11 other countries.
That's astrophysicist Dr. Matt Agnew speaking there.
So what happens next?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I also wanted to know that. So it's basically, it would give us a gateway into space, which is really cool. Matt put it this way, we won't be at the mercy of other countries. So basically Australia would have the ability to put our own satellites up into space. And these could be used to things like monitor the agriculture, the health of our Great Barrier Reef, even provide better telecommunication technology. Now, this could really help with conservation efforts too for the Great Barrier Reef, which has experienced its fifth mass coral bleaching event in just 8 years. It could also put Australia on the map too, which we love in the international space community. And I'm also told it would help with jobs too.
Historically, the first launch never gets all the way to space. It's generally a test launch that you try to get as far as you can into space or up towards space and learn as much as you can. So we're not expecting one to go all the way. But we're building a second one behind it and a third one behind that. So we are going to keep putting rockets. And we plan to build larger rockets in the future. And that will allow us to take just more satellites up into space.
That's Gilmour Space Technologies CEO Adam Gilmour speaking there. Just quickly, another thing to note, it actually means we could provide these launch services to other countries too, which means our economy cashes in. The global space industry is said to be worth over $400 billion US annually.
What comes out of the space industry is very highly skilled jobs that go into other industries and spear them off. And this is why we think it's important as well that, you know, the people that we train up to build rockets can go out and build anything like ships, submarines, you name it. And so it's a great industry to have in your country.
Adam Gilmore again there. Courtney, this launch is planned for the small town of Bowen in Queensland. It's a coastal town in the Whitsundays, and I see it's the home of the big mango. Why Bowen?
Yeah, I had the same question as well. It may seem like an odd choice there. It's a small population, around 10,000 people, but that's actually one of the reasons. But there's two reasons, really. Now, here's Matt again to explain.
At the equator is where you're going to get the most motion because it's the widest area. So you do want to launch close to the equator because your rocket then is already, it has that velocity built in. So one consideration is you do want to launch nearer to the equator, which is why it's up north. And the second is you want to have a really clear area to the east of the launch facility. And that's because you could have a catastrophic failure and you don't want to rain down debris over places where people are living, but also you're going to jettison different stages of the rocket. So you're going to have stages fall down back to Earth regardless of success or failure of the actual launch itself. And so Bowen is good because it's north, it's getting close to the equator, and it's on the coast. So to the east of the launch site, it's all ocean.
But Courtney, this rocket launch, whenever it happens, is it actually likely to fail?
Yes. Well, Gilmore Space Technologies, they've been working on this specific rocket since 2019. But as Matt says here, and as Adam already alluded to earlier, most rocket launches fail because of the combustion of the fuel.
Essentially, with a rocket, what you're trying to do is control an explosion. And as you can imagine, that's quite a hard thing to do, to control an explosion. So there's myriad systems and technology in place to attempt to direct downwards, basically, to propel the rocket, but it means there are a lot of things that can fail. And the other thing to kind of keep in mind is that when you're sending things to space, every additional gram of mass you add means that you need to provide more fuel to move that mass up into space. So you not only do you have this really dangerous and violent situation going on with combustion, but you're trying to do it with as least material and the lightest material possible. So it's a real very precarious balancing act, and that's why you do see a lot of failures at launch.
Seems like a bit of a nightmare to make it all work.
Yeah, I'm certainly glad that this is not my job. But fingers and toes across that everything goes well for Gilmore Space Technologies. Look, they've jumped through a lot of hoops already, but it seems like the team have done everything they can, humanly possible, to make this launch successful whenever it happens.
Well, we'll be waiting with bated breath. Courtney, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks so much.
Listener journo Courtney Thomas joining us there. That's all we have time for today. But if you enjoyed this chat, please share it with a friend or two and click follow so you never miss an episode. The Weekend Briefing is back tomorrow. Ant, what have you got on?
Hey guys, this weekend I have such an entertaining chat with comedian and actress Nina Oyama. She's the sort of person that walks around with an iPad instead of an iPhone, somehow makes it cool. She shares her life's greatest skill, which is holding a handstand for 2 minutes. Also makes a fantastic and compelling case for why we need to hire more lesbians. You won't want to miss it.
Excellent. And Tom Tilley will be back here on Sunday. Make sure you catch it. Till next time, I'm Ben Sion Siebert. Thanks for joining us.